Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. Subscribe to our podcast after we air the shows live on WKOK. We can send those shows right to your smartphone and tablet. You can listen to them anytime, anywhere. So go to either Google Play or Apple Podcast app. Search Steve Jones Show. Hit subscribe. And if you happen to listen to us either through iTunes or Apple Podcast, please leave us a review. That definitely helps the cause. We appreciate that. And you can always get in touch with us with your email, stevejones@wkok.com. And we'll get connected here in a bit with Steve from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Be with you live till 5, then we'll have our late-day news roundup. Got quite a bit cooking on the show today. It's been a while since we've had on Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, invitemanager.com. Get Tony's perspective on the business of sports. Scheduled to join us in the next half hour. Also coming up next hour, the voice of the Michigan Radio Network. It'd be great to have Jim Brandstatter back on the show, 4:06, scheduled to join us. And then we'll play back a little bit of James Franklin's press conference, which was held in the media room at Beaver Stadium just a few hours ago as Penn State prepares to take on Michigan in the whiteout. Over 110,000 expected Saturday night, 7:30 will be the kick, and we'll have our airtime at 6 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Not that we are looking ahead past Michigan, but in case you were wondering, next week, Penn State at Michigan State. That is a 3:30 kick from East Lansing. So we'll have a 2 p.m. airtime next Saturday here on WKOK. Also, we will have for you scheduled tomorrow Penn State football beat writer Mark Roganrich from the Allentown Morning Call. And also Stephen Jack's broadcast partner from the Penn State Football Network, Matt McGloin, who's been roaming the sidelines for Stephen Jack the past month or so. He'll be joining us. We found out this morning that Matt McGloin will continue his football career. The XFL draft started today. That's right, Vince McMahon's Pro Football League. So, it's going to start after the NFL season. And we know, well, they set up this tier one. There's going to be 8 teams in the league. So they've set up this tier one level, so everybody got a fair shake at a quarterback. Matt McGloin was in that group of 8 quarterbacks. Well, Matt was drafted this morning by the New York Guardians. They will play in MetLife Stadium, same stadium where the Giants and Jets play. And former New York Giants offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride is the head coach and general manager of the New York Guardians. And also Kevin Gilbride at one time was on Buddy Ryan's coaching staff way back in the day. So congratulations to Matt. Matt's scheduled to join us on Thursday. So look forward to catching his perspective as to how that draft process went going to the XFL. And that, by the way, it's Andrew Luck's dad, Oliver Luck. He is the commissioner of the XFL. And I was talking with, down the hall during lunch break, Kyle Alexander. We hear Kyle on 94KX, Eagle 107 in the Valley. And we got to talking about Vince McMahon, WWE, and now the extra cash flow that WWE is now getting because of SmackDown making its debut on Fox a couple of weeks ago. And I'd be curious to find out the amount of money, just the amount of extra money they're getting from Fox that McMahon is now going to be using to funnel into the XFL. So, interesting topic to kick around. Whether we bring it up with Tony Knopp remains to be seen. But Tony was one of the first to tell us a couple of years ago when San Diego made the announcement they would take the Chargers to Los Angeles. That would be an absolute mess. Well, proof is in the pudding, especially watching that alleged Steelers away game on Sunday night. That didn't look like an away game. 75-25 Steeler fans taking over that soccer stadium on Sunday night. By the way, rough news for Steeler fans. We learned last night after the show that Stephon Tuitt, the outstanding defensive lineman for the Steelers, was either the fifth or sixth play Sunday night at the Chargers. He tore his pec muscle, the worst. Unfortunately, the worst was found. Does need surgery. So, number 91 for your Pittsburgh Steelers out for the rest of the season. So that's a huge blow for the Steelers. The bye could not have come at a better time, so the guys can heal up, and Mason Rudolph can get officially out of concussion protocol and back up practicing with the number ones leading up to the Dolphins game, which will be in 2 weeks on the 28th.
Yeah.
You'll be able to hear that on 100.9 The Valley.
So they got back-to-back bye weeks.
That's one way to look at it, yes.
No, that's the only way to look at it.
That's true. I still can't believe I picked Josh. Yeah, knowing that Josh Rosen was quarterbacking the Dolphins and picking them over the Redskins, but he didn't even last that game. They went to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic.
Yeah, Fitzmagic. Yeah. Okay. Oh boy. We'll have a fun show today.
Yeah, we're jam-packed. Okay. Rest of the week is filling up pretty nicely, too.
Yeah. Oh, I see. We got a note here because we mentioned the birth of a baby on the radio. Oh. They said that they shed a few tears because we mentioned their new baby on the radio. And it also goes on to say the reason that they shed a few tears is because I said it and I make them cry no matter what.
was that the announcement of Ron
Rory
Molman's grandson?
Yes,
Molman.
Yes, it was
Molman.
Well, as Jack and I will be the first to tell you, in the end, it really is about the Molman. So. When we sit there and tell you it's going to be a finely tuned crowd on Saturday night, he is among those I think we include. But yeah. That's what we got coming up. James Franklin's press conference today. I'll tell you, he was very open, honest, and direct about what this game means, not just for Saturday, but for the big picture. He didn't shy away from talking about the big picture when it comes to this game. He didn't shy away about talking about what the impact it has on recruiting and on seasons 20, 21, 22. Correct? Didn't dance around it. You know, this is the way it is. Awesome. Well, you know, and it is that way. Oh, there we go. I got my U.S. Open Wingfoot hat in the mail. There we go. It's amazing how they just shove it into an envelope. All right. It's like, here you go. Here's your bag tag. But, yeah. And I think that's really important, to get into that part of it. You know, the impression that the whiteout can make on a recruit, the impression that a whiteout can make on a family, the impression that a facility can make on a recruit, the impression that a, that a, that you know, places like such as the Morgan Academic Center, Holuba Hall, the locker room, the player lounge, the offices, the impression they can all make in recruiting. You don't need to have a miniature golf course or a rock climbing area or anything like that, which I understand that our interim finance director has proposed for the radio station. You don't need that stuff. Does it concern you when you hear those proposals in the staff meeting?
I was like, you want what? Where is that going to go?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we've got to deal with it all the time. All right, so... but, you know, there is an impact to all this. And the whiteout, the number of recruits that Penn State has been able to garner over the years from the whiteout is remarkable. Obviously, I have been... I think it is safe to say I've been around the block a lot in my life. Okay? I've gone to a lot of venues, a lot of places. And I'll be honest with you, for the most part... For the most part, venues do not sway me. Like, you walk in and go, okay, great. You know, for the most part. Now, there's certain places you walk into the Rose Bowl and go, all right. I've done so many games at Michigan and Ohio State. I walk in and go, okay, where's the box? Sir, you know. But when you're outside, because remember, Jack and I are outside 90 minutes before kickoff. And during that time, even though there are a lot of people at our area, there are also people that are filtering into the stadium while we're outside doing the pregame show. So when I tape, there's a piece I have to tape before the game, and the stadium is empty when I tape it. Then I go out, and I'm out there. We're out there for what? I don't know, 50 minutes to an hour. And in that hour, the place is filling up. When you walk back into the press box on a whiteout night, and you go into the booth, and you go down now into the well, and you look out, and you go, holy mackerel, look at this place. It really is that impressive to see it that way. It really is that impressive. And McGloin sent me... Okay, you know McGloin, they signed today with New York and the XFL.
Yeah, he's having a pretty good day.
Yeah, I sent this to ESPN using the rugged McGloin picture. He sent me back a text. Oh, man. Jeez.
He's good to go to join us on Thursday.
Yeah, well, that's okay, because Jack... just so you know, Jack and I have known about this for about 3 weeks or a month, so this is not, you know, so today was not one of those revelation days for us. So we're in Iowa City Friday night at dinner talking about this, and so Jack and I are trying to hit him up for tickets. And he goes, well, I probably could get you tickets. No, you don't seem to understand. I said, we actually want a box. I said, I don't think we know how to react sitting in the stands. I said, Jack says, he says, yeah. I said, we'd like to have the box fully stocked, too, if you don't mind. You are the starting quarterback. Okay, we're just the worst, all right? We're not the easiest people to deal with. We have demands.
That actually was pretty cool what the XFL did. They wanted to make sure every team got a fair shake at a quarterback, and then it just all fell into place this morning as to which quarterback went where. I also saw that a former Michigan State and former Oakland Raider Connor Cook was taken by Dallas.
Well, he's their problem.
That's right.
Cook is an interesting guy. Sean Clifford, for example, is... you saw Trace McSorley as a quarterback in his junior year be a captain. Sean Clifford as a captain as a sophomore here. You see... I would not doubt that Justin Fields is a captain next year for Ohio State, because they say nothing but great things about his leadership ability and so forth. Connor Cook was never a captain at Michigan State. Hey. Now, the players vote on that, and it can be overridden by the coaching staff. He wasn't voted, and the coaching staff never overrode it. What does that tell you? That is not a small deal. It's not a small deal. Your guy Landry Jones, by the way, is going to be in Dallas with him.
Oh, by the way, I take that back. Connor Cook was taken by the Houston Roughnecks. So it was Dallas, I believe, took... Dallas took Landry Jones. So there you go.
Yeah, with Bob Stoops.
Correct.
So he's, you know, with Bob Stoops.
Yep, so you have the D.C. Defenders, the Houston Roughnecks...
Yeah, D.C. got Cardale Jones, by the way.
Yep. The New York Guardians.
Yes, led by Matt McGloin.
Dallas Renegades. The Tampa Bay Vipers. The St. Louis Battlehawks. The Seattle Dragons and the Los Angeles Wildcats. Those are your eight teams in the XFL.
Well, one thing about the XFL... is that all the players... DeAndre Tompkins got taken by D.C., for example. He's going to take a shot there at D.C. with the XFL team.
It's a fourth-round pick for D.C. today.
One item about the XFL, as opposed to other opposing leagues, I believe every player that plays in the league next spring, starting right after a week after the Super Bowl, they'll all get paid. There will not be missing checks. I mean, that's one thing. Now, they maybe they'll, you know, who knows what they'll draw, who knows how it's going to play out in that regard. But the ability to be paid, they'll get paid. That's one thing about this league. You the players that play, and I told Matt this. I said, Matt, I said one thing I can assure you will get your money. So whatever number your agent worked out, I said you're going to get it. I said because Vince McMahon has it. Now, they also have TV deals. And I don't think it's insignificant that ESPN is a part of the deal. I don't think that's insignificant. I think ESPN can help that league. And you notice how ESPN covered the XFL draft today. They covered it because, guess what? They're investing in it. That makes a big difference. Big difference. So we have Tony Knopp today on the business of sports. Yes. And Jim Brandstetter today, and we have James Franklin's press conference. So we have a lot going on today. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Yeah, this will be a lot of fun today. Should we take a break, sir?
Yeah, getting close to the bottom of the hour. We can do that. Take care of the news, and we'll get back with Tony. Sure.
Sure. Sounds great. We'll do that. So we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
I believe, if my information is correct, someone is making a Beaver Stadium appearance this week. Now, hopefully that's held up.
Ladies and gentlemen, the outstanding, our good friend Tony Knopp. Tony, welcome.
Hello, hello.
So are the rumors true?
The rumors are true. I'm excited. We're headed out. We got our white all picked out, and we're ready to have some fun.
There you go. 6 o'clock outside the Bryce Jordan Center is where you will find Mr. Ham and me. And we're out from 6 to 7 before we have to go in. So if you get an opportunity.
Oh, I will make time.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I'm really. And man, I tell you, it certainly worked out in our favor. Got College game day, and really this is for the right to play Wisconsin, it looks like. And then that's it. You guys are in.
You got Ohio State down the road too for each team, but still, this is it. This is the game of the weekend. There's no question about that. It is the game of the weekend.
Yeah,
all right.
I'm excited
so now
about
I want to. Oh, I can imagine. Now I want to get to. Before I get to China, I want to talk about the Chargers situation because the Steelers were just there.
Yep.
And I know it's a 27,000-seat stadium, so let's not go overboard in the numbers there. But the percentage, is there anybody in that area, I don't mean the city, but even the area, that has embraced the Chargers as their own?
A handful. You don't see them much. There's not much coverage of them. The problem was when they left San Diego, they also alienated all of their fans in Orange County and San Diego who you know, wanted them to stay down there. Now, look, the reality is when a team like Pittsburgh came out to San Diego, they took over Qualcomm, too. And before that, Jack Murphy. They're just such a strong national brand that anytime you play in a softer sports market like a, you know, San Diego or a Los Angeles, or even really, like, even though San Francisco's got a great fan base, you're still going to get 20% of the stadium at least being Steelers fans. But, yeah, it was definitely overboard to the point where even the players were complaining that they started playing Steelers theme music during the game. The biggest problem that, you know, people from outside of the area don't really remember in this whole process is that the NFL didn't want the Chargers to come to Los Angeles. They offered them $100 million not to. And the Chargers, you know, they walked away from that money and decided to pay the $600 million relocation fee that they owed and came anyways. And now the question is, what do you do next? Because, you know, there's rumors of maybe trying to do a behind-closed-door sell the team to move them back, but they have a personal seat license guarantee that they have to hit, and they're not even within 80% of that number right now.
Pretty good.
Yeah, they're way below. It's you know, and they're getting some of the partnerships that are coming into the stadium that are being split. But I can't imagine how they're going to be able to fill that stadium for a sustainable future. You know, the one thing they're going to have going for them is as the stadium opens and it's its own attraction, people are going to go to Chargers games because they're going to be able to get tickets. So for the first 2 years, attendance won't be bad because I want to see the new building. After that, I don't know if there's a sustainable future for the Chargers unless something dramatic changes, and I really don't know what that's going to be, especially with the Clippers going in right next door.
Yeah, because the Clippers, they want to build in Inglewood. How much of a problem is James Dolan for Steve Ballmer and the Clippers to build in Inglewood?
There are a lot of conversations happening that this is a foregone conclusion, despite the fact that there's already a litany of lawsuits going back and forth. The reality is what Dolan and the MSG/Irving Azoff group are arguing is that when they poured all that money into the forum, they did it because they had an agreement with the mayor. The mayor down there is James Butts, and he was going to give them a form of exclusivity. And now he's offering a lot of those similar incentives to the new group, to Ballmer's group. And it's being talked about in the press almost like it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to go down there. But for those who aren't familiar with the L.A. sports scene, this has happened before. They even were going to build a football stadium downtown and got so far into the plans that they sold the naming rights for it. Farmers Field was going to be the home of the L.A. Rams as of 5 years ago. And they had the naming rights for the stadium already sold at a $500 million deal. So this is not new to us. Dolan is going to be the reason that it doesn't happen if it doesn't happen.
And it's amazing because now you have one NBA owner against the other.
You do. And you have NBA owners of different gravitas, so to speak, within the with the teams that they own, right? James Dolan doesn't have the most sterling reputation right now, but obviously the Knicks are a, you know, a linchpin franchise within the NBA, and the Clippers have gotten better recently, but we know their history has been spotted, and they're obviously number two to the Lakers. So, you know, the Clippers leaving Staples Center does hurt AEG a little bit, who owns a piece of the Lakers as well, because they sell their premium rights. It's going to be an interesting battle to see who ends up where. But all of this plays into what happens with the Chargers, because now you have the Clippers fighting MSG for the Forum, Staples Center is fighting against Live Nation as far as concerts go, and then you have the Chargers who show up, who have really no history in Los Angeles, you know, that's recent, no fan base, and a giant personal seat license goal to hit. I just don't see any way they get there. I just don't. If you're asking me, the Chargers aren't in Los Angeles in 5 years. Probably less.
And you said that the last time we were on, that you thought that was a distinct possibility that, you know, they wouldn't be there. I mean,
no, they're not gonna be there.
This is one of the more absurd things I've seen in sports. I've seen absurd things, but I sit there and go, oh, wait, you're going someplace where you're a non-entity, and you're not the only show in town.
You're not only not the only show in town, but for those who don't travel there often, L.A. is still a very Raiders town. Like, there's still a very large Raider fan base in Los Angeles as well. So the Chargers
will go to Las Vegas to watch them, and they'll go to Las Vegas to watch them.
They will. They're not the number two team in LA. They're probably the number four team in LA, because USC's football team is, you know, obviously above them as well. And they're not as rabid as Happy Valley, but when the team is good, they can draw 70,000-80,000 people to the game. That's something that the Chargers can't do.
All right, so now let's get to the China issue. Morey sends out his tweet in support of the protesters in Hong Kong. LeBron then made his statement yesterday. What kind of let's get to the bottom line. The NBA cares about money, and let's not be cute here. I mean, LeBron James is now in the movie industry too, and you and I both know that China is a critical market in the movie industry. Fair?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. All right, so what did this do to dent the NBA, and what kind of bind are they in right now because of it?
I think people don't understand the viewership of the NBA in China. You know, first of all, there's a number of business interests that are over there that are standalone in China. So, for example, Klay Thompson and... there's another major player that has a shoe that their shoe deal is in China. Like, this isn't a supplementary shoe deal. Yeah. That is their shoe deal. It's in China, and that's where they get paid from. Also, as far as viewership goes for the NBA in China, it's on par with viewership in North America. So the fact that this happened, you know, there's a couple of things that have been interesting in watching this and watching how crisis management has really happened and how this has dented the NBA. I mean, this, to me, is as bad, maybe worse, than the kneeling problem was for the NFL. And it's because, number one, regardless of what Daryl Morey thinks, he's in a position where he needs to know better than to voice that opinion. And let me give a very simple example of that, his constituents. I just know that as part of my job. So LeBron making that statement that he made is absolutely correct. What I'm surprised by, Steve, and I know it would have been a huge problem for them, is, you know, we're going to test the resolve of the Chinese people and see how long they're going to hold this against the NBA. And if they do hold it against the NBA for a long time, it's going to be crippling on the business side. Now, that said, I'm surprised what they didn't do was have Morey resign, you know, within a short period of time after making that statement, and just say, look, I didn't want to damage some people, give him a package, let him walk away, he can come back in a few years. I'm actually really surprised that didn't happen. Now,
the players brought that up in a meeting with Adam Silver.
Absolutely. The players brought it up, and what they said that was poignant was, if a player had tweeted this, what would you have done? And, you know, the reality is, it's worse over there than I think. You know, sometimes, you know, there's sensationalism in the press, and you think that they're making more of this than they are, but they aren't in this circumstance. You know, I have very dear friends who just got back 2 days ago who were out there for that game, you know, we've done a lot of work with the Nets in the past. We do a ton of work with the Lakers in the Staples Center. And they said it was incredibly uncomfortable while they were there for the players to look out the window and see their faces being painted over, for them to not be able to talk about the game, for them to go to the game and have all the sponsor logos covered up. They said it was palpable. This was not a PR stunt. And so they absolutely felt it. And now today, people are starting to burn jerseys. This is a circumstance where, you know, it's going to follow the NBA for quite a long time, and we'll see how well they handle crisis management. Let's not forget, this is a league that had a ref admit to cheating and putting one of the ultimate stains on their championship with the 2002 Lakers-Kings series. We all remember that game, and then Donahue came out and said, yeah, no, we were absolutely cheating for that game. So in the short term, this is a significant financial burden for the NBA, and I don't see it going anywhere for a little while, to be totally honest.
Which then brings in the next part. Because of how it's played out so publicly here, do you think there's been damage done in this country in their attitude toward the NBA, despite what it means financially in China?
The unfortunate reality of what's going to happen now is thinking about any close relationship somebody has with a close best friend, with a husband or a wife, with a partner of, you know, of whatever kind. This is the kind of fault that won't go away. And when we get to the next CBA, the reality is these players are, you know, as Jay-Z said, and they have all adopted, I'm a businessman. I'm not just a businessman, right? It's how they're approaching their likeness. It's how they're approaching making money. It's how they're approaching their cut of the pie. We have been told and then seen in the press a few days later that there are teams modeling for a lower salary cap because of this. Now, if you are on the NBA Players Association and you just saw your salary cap drop anywhere from 5 to 12% because of something that a general manager who's quote-unquote on the other side of the business negotiation than you did, how are you going to react? How are you going to look at what punishments can be in place, how you can be treated when you do something that's damaging to the brand, what we can do when we start talking about, you know, social rights and what we have the ability to come out and say? This, when I say I don't know how long this is going to come with China, I really don't. I don't know how long, you know, we're going to reverberate in China and see the financial burden of it. But when it comes to the states, we're going to be hearing about this in every CBA for the next 15 years. This is the example that the Players Association will use for the next 15 years.
Right. About what management did to affect their personal bottom line.
Affecting my personal bottom line, and there was relatively little, if not any, consequence or recourse for his actions.
Right. So when you look at what does the NBA get from China? About 20% of their total take? Is that about
right? I think I saw it was almost 30. It's like 28% or something.
Okay,
now.
28%. Under Adam Silver, I think it's safe to say there have been no missteps. And I'm not, he's not the one that made a misstep. How do you feel he has done for the first time?
There's fault and responsibility, right?
Right.
This isn't Adam Silver's fault, but it's definitely his responsibility. Right, and how he responds to that is what's going to paint where this goes forward. And the fact that he didn't do anything to Morey is a response. We don't know if that's a misstep yet. We'll figure that out as time passes. Personally, I think
is the first time we've seen him in crisis management, right?
Yeah. He's had a pretty honeymoon-like rise to power underneath Stern. And I think that was on purpose. You know, Stern, on his way out, cleared up a few things, which will happen with many commissioners on the way out the door. Right, take a few bullets to make it easier for the next guy. He's handled the gambling thing well. He's handled the social impact thing well. You know, it's an ever-changing landscape for him because he's been the one that's been in charge. As you know, to be totally honest, Steve, I think we all agree that the last CBA didn't work. Right. The intent of the last CBA was to create supermax contracts so that players had less control and they stayed in small markets. And the exact opposite has happened.
Right.
The players have taken control of the league. And that's maybe not a bad thing. Why shouldn't they? But that said, how he handles this is going to define his legacy because this is the kind of thing that's not going to go away. I think this is, you know, bigger than Spygate was. I think this is bigger than the deflated footballs. I think it's bigger than all of those things. because, and it's in my personal opinion, I think it's even bigger than David Stern voiding the trade of Chris Paul to the Lakers.
Right. Right.
Right, which basically took away all objectivity when it comes to player movement. This is a bigger deal than all of those things because as much as you want, this is a union contract that's been jointly negotiated. And there are sides to this. There are the players and there are the owners. And now you're holding owners to a different level of culpability than you are the players. That's not going to go away.
Right, exactly. In the end, when you look at the NFL players, and you talk about clearing things up as a commissioner, Jim Delaney, for example, has cleared up a lot for the new commissioner. He already has the TV negotiation done. Mm-hmm. He has the bowl games all negotiated. The new commissioner gets to ease his way into the job in the Big Ten. So that
Delaney
does happen.
Delaney was generational, Steve. He was one of the best leaders of our era.
No question, but he made sure a lot of things were off the plate of the new commissioner so that when he gets in and then it's finally his turn to take care of it, he's got a year or two before he has to. Now, when it comes to the NFL players, when they look at the NBA players and they know their CBA is coming up, how anxious do you think NFL players are to have that same kind of power where they feel like they have a genuine seat at the table?
I think the problems in the NFL are not that much different than they were during the last CBA, to be totally honest. I think guaranteed contracts is going to be at the top of the list. I think injury-laden contracts and then how they're going to take care of the legacy players, the retired players, especially with careers getting shorter and shorter. I think the biggest problem, Steve, to be totally honest, is the Major League Baseball labor rights, which they just settled relatively quietly. But I think the players are going to bring that back to the table, and it's going to get nasty because the reality is, as we're seeing, youth rules now. And these guys can't make any money until they're 27 or 28, and at that point, we don't even use them anymore. Unless you're a left-handed reliever or a starting pitcher, you're done by the time you're 30. That system isn't in place for them because they're underneath so much control. The NFL's control does last for the first couple of years, but they're still being well compensated compared to what they're providing to the team, right? So I think what the NBA is looking at, I think what the NFL is looking at as opposed to the NBA is length of deals and guaranteed money. Because the NBA, the players just have so much control. I mean, John Wall signs a Supermax contract, and he's protected, and it's guaranteed, and he's not going to play for 2 years. That's just fantasy land for the NFL.
Yeah, and you're right about the baseball part. I mean, because what they'll tell you is analytics show your productivity past the age of 33 goes into the tank. That's what they say.
But the entire pay system is set up that you're controlled until you're 28. And if they want to get creative, they can control you until you're 29, right? And those arguments are very clear and very simple. I mean, if you look at it analytically, a guy that's still in the league like a Buster Posey, who was an MVP candidate making $625,000 a year, who now is an average player making $22 million a year. And the owners get rich with that being the case. I mean, that's all the collusion arguments we heard last year about how Dallas Keuchel can't get a job and, all of these vets at first base and third base are getting underpaid. The reality is the model has evolved past the system. And in the NFL, that's kind of starting to be the case again, where, we all know that they put the CBA in place because of Sam Bradford, right? He got that $40 million signing bonus when he got picked first overall. And they said, we can't do that anymore. But the reality is, maybe you can, because the longevity of players outside of a handful of quarterbacks is generally 27 years old. And then you're done for the rest of your life in a league that is legitimately printing money.
All right, and the other part, I mean, I know when it comes back to the NFL, I know at one point or another, we related to Saquon Barkley, your four-year deal is actually six.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
And the thing about the NFL, where the players do have a little bit of bargaining chip, is the NFL is in a very unique spot that they control all of their TV rights. Right, so there's no regional networks that are carrying their rights like what's happening in baseball. So it is relatively easy for the players to come back and say, you know what you're getting in these renegotiated deals, and we need a cut of that. And that cut needs to be better distributed to the youth and the players that, are filling the stands, as opposed to $30 million going to Russell Wilson while his entire offensive line makes $1.6 million. it's just become a have and have not. So it has to get addressed.
And your Pete Carroll saying, look, you better protect the $30 million back there.
Better protect the $30 million guy. Here's $1.8 million to do it, right? And yeah. And that's what's happening. And it's just becoming a have and have nots league. And unfortunately, that's kind of the case across a lot of sports right now, including college football.
Well, I can't wait to see you on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be great to have you here. I hope you enjoy and absorb everything that happens here, just the fact we get to talk face to face for a while is going to be really cool. And I know Jack's looking forward to meeting you too.
Yeah, this is going to be a great time. I'll definitely send you all of my info and itinerary, and I will make my way to you guys.
You're the best, my man. You are the best. Thanks so much, Tony.
All right. We will see you Saturday.
See you Saturday, Tony Knopp. Well, we get more feedback, and it's all positive. We get more feedback about his appearances than anybody else. Jim Brandstetter, the voice of Michigan football, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.